We've been studying the crowns for the believer, the crowns that believers are to receive for faithfulness while they live on this earth, crowns that they will receive at the foot of Jesus in heaven at the Bema Seat. And we've looked at four crowns, and today we're going to look at the fifth one. Just by way of review, we have looked at the crown, the incorruptible crown. That is the crown that in the passage speaks of enduring, speaks of running on purpose, given to believers that run the race of life and seek the things that are eternal. We looked at the crown of righteousness given to the believer who lives in a state of readiness for the second coming of our Lord. We looked at the crown of life given to those who stand with courage and conviction and confidence in the face of trials and persecutions. We've looked at the crown of rejoicing given to those whose life mission is about the establishing of gospel-centered relationships with people. Turn in your Bibles now to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. It is in this chapter that we will see the crown of glory. The crown of glory. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 4. Before I read, just give you a brief context. Peter writing this letter to believers who are under severe persecution. Nero most likely is the emperor at this time, and as you know, Nero, not friendly to the Christian faith. And the Apostle Peter is writing to encourage those believers under persecution. There are churches that are established, and we know that because he addresses elders. And elders is a position that God has established in the local church. It is a position otherwise known in the scriptures as a bishop, overseer, pastor. All of those terms speak of this position that God has established for leadership in the church. You know, there are two offices for leaders that God has placed for the church, that of the elder and that of the deacon. And those are those positions that God has established. And he gives specific instructions on how they are to be chosen, how they are to live. And what we're going to see today is he also speaks specifically of how they will be rewarded. I will honestly tell you that a message of this nature is not an easy one to preach. And I want you to understand and realize that the Word of God very clearly in several passages addresses the leadership of his church. And he gives us instructions. He gives us specific responsibilities. He calls us out to be leaders and to shepherd the flock of God. The flock of God, that is you. One of the wonderful things that we see, and we're going to see this in this letter that Peter writes, is that even the pastor is under a shepherd. And we're under the shepherd, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so lest you think that a pastor is just a rogue, just out on his own, the buck stops here, well, it does not. It is a challenging place to be. Between God's people and the chief shepherd, seeking to intercede on the behalf of God's people, to lead, feed, it is a challenging place, but I will tell you, it is a privilege. And I tell you today, and I stand before you in all honesty, I am grateful that God has placed me here to be with you and to be in this role. It's not always easy. There are always challenges and difficulties, and there are days of frustration. And you need to know that, and I do covet your prayers. But the calling of God is ever so real in my heart. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, "The elders which are among you," Peter writes, "I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." No matter how we look at this passage, it is very clear here who Peter's talking to, isn't it? He is talking to the leadership of the church, specifically the elder or the pastor. I don't know if you realize this, but the word pastor is a word that comes from the word that means to shepherd, to be a shepherd. And so when you call me Pastor Josh, you're calling me shepherd. Shepherd Josh. And I did a little reading about sheep and shepherding, and it is fascinating that God chose this analogy to describe His people and the leadership of His church. You know that we're called sheep. We're called sheep, and who takes care of the sheep? It's the shepherd. And we could get mad at God for that. We could say, "God, that's kind of a humbling position." I mean, there is not too many glamorous things about sheep. I didn't realize this, but sheep are helpless creatures. I didn't realize how helpless they were. I mean, they sometimes can't get themselves turned back over. They can't clean themselves. They cannot bite, kick. They don't have any defenses. When they get attacked by prey, instead of scattering, they run together. Well, what does that accomplish? Well, let me choose which one I want. They don't know what the best things are for them to eat. They don't know how to find water. They can't smell water like other animals can. And so they don't know how to get themselves to water, and the water has to be specific. It can't be flowing. It needs to be still. Oh, God, it's frustrating being a sheep. I'm a sheep too. Under the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Being a sheep, in order for us to survive, we need a shepherd. And Jesus Christ is described in the scriptures as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and in this passage, the chief shepherd. He's called the chief shepherd in this passage because I believe it's for this purpose. Peter's talking to under-shepherds, shepherds that have been placed over the people of God, men that have the oversight, the need to be responsible and to care for other people. And I realize too that this may be a difficult thing for us to grasp and us to understand. But there is no other way to look at it in the scriptures. God has placed leadership over His church, and they are called pastors, elders. And Peter here, as he addresses them, he gives some specific instructions on how they are to shepherd. Now, why should you listen to this? Why is this important for you? I mean, I look at this and I ask that question. I say, God, this is a passage. It is addressed to elders. And I am getting up and I am preaching to people that are not elders. Let me caution you. You may not be an elder right now, but men, God may call you someday to be a pastor. I don't know that. So if that might be you, pay attention, because these are instructions. I sat where you were once, and God put a calling in my heart to go from being a land surveyor to being a pastor. And it has been a tremendous ride, a tremendous calling, a huge and humbling responsibility. Why else should you pay attention to this message? Pay attention because you need to understand the role and responsibility of your pastor. Why? Because it will help you to pray for him. You need to understand and realize the calling that God has placed upon your pastor's life, the responsibilities that he has put there. They are great, and they are heavy. It is the caring for people. And you know people. I know people. You are one of them. I am one of them. And I have problems. And I need counsel. And I need wisdom. And I need insight. And I benefit greatly from going to the people that have been my pastors and seeking their advice and sharing with them my struggles and accepting their prayers. Won't you pray for your pastor? Your pastor needs it. And your pastor wants to know that you pray for him. Because your pastor is a human being and has failures and struggles just like the rest of you. And yet, you know, we've been placed to lead people. Wow, that's a humbling place to be. And one of the reasons it's hard to speak about this is because I do not want to exalt myself in any of these matters. But I want to declare to you God's truth and what he says about this role, and specifically the crown of glory. Now, as we look at these crowns, sometimes the temptation is to focus on the crown more than what this crown is all about, what the meaning of it behind it is. The crown of glory, as you're going to see in this text, is something that is given again by the Lord Jesus at his appearing. This is a crown that will never fade. If you look at verse 4, I just want to break a few things down for you here in the text. 1 Peter chapter 4, or chapter 5 and verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." I want you to notice, first of all, that this crown is a crown that will never fade. I'm going to work backwards in this text. This is a crown that will never fade. This word in the Greek is actually the name of a flower, an amaranth. And this flower is a flower that many people credit as being very hardy, one that, quote-unquote, never dies, does not fade. I've read some accounts, if you even pluck it and just moisten the bottom of it, the stem, with water, it will revive itself. This is a very, very hardy plant, and this plant that came to be known as a description for something that just doesn't fade away. This word that you see here is a word that describes this crown of glory as something that is eternal. It will always be around. Now, I want you also to notice that not only does this crown of glory not fade away, but it is a crown that is received from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a crown that is received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at, as we think about that, that brings us to the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, where I believe believers will stand before God and we will be rewarded for the deeds that we have done on this earth as believers. And because the Bible lays out leadership for the church and the elders and pastors, that position, and he speaks of that position, it is interesting that we see a reward that is given to men who take on that calling, who receive that calling. When is this given? When the chief shepherd shall appear? Well, Peter's writing this probably in the mid-50s. Jesus Christ died in the 30s A.D. So we're thinking about, we're looking at something written 20 years approximately after Jesus died, rose again, and then ascended back to heaven. So with that in mind, what appearance are we talking about? We're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're talking about when Jesus Christ comes again, and that begins by the rapture where the believers are taken up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ appears, that will be the end of the church age as we know it. In the church age, all of us as believers will go to be with the Lord. And it is at that point that these elders, pastors, these people that Peter is talking to will stand before God. And, you know, we're talking about rewards here. Let's remember something. We're held to a high standard. Teachers are held accountable for the things that they give their students. Just flip over to James. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. James 3, 1. Why is there a specific reward here? The crown of glory? We're held to a high standard. When I say we, the pastors, elders, are held to a very high standard before God. Now, I want us to take note now of this description of the elders. In verse 2, you see they are to feed the flock of God. We're back in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. What does this look like? The feeding of the flock of God, I want you to take note, first of all, it's the flock of God. It's not the flock of any man. It's the flock of God. And I've made a purpose in my life to seek to refer to you as God's people, not my people. And I don't do that to offend you, not that I don't want to claim you as my own, and because I do. But it sure helps me to realize that I'm not all special. It's God that's special. You are God's special people, and I've just been given the privilege to feed you. You know, to feed the sheep, the shepherd needs to lead his people, lead the sheep to good pasture. He is responsible to show them where the good grass is. And I also read, it's interesting, that the ground and the soil, because the sheep's hooves are so tender, the soil cannot be too wet. It needs to be just right. And the grass, since they don't understand what is good grass and what is poisonous for them, the shepherd needs to pay attention to what is going into their mouths. Do you realize the responsibility that goes with that idea? Of feeding the flock of God. In other words, God has called men to lead God's people to the truth, to things that will nourish their lives and not poison them, that will flood them with truth and not error, things that will give them life and not make them sick. Responsible to do this regularly, not just sometimes. We need to keep eating, and we need to eat regularly. And the shepherd was responsible to day in and day out feed the sheep. As we go throughout this message, I'm going to give you just some things you can be praying for specifically for your pastor. Your pastor's been called to feed you. Would you pray that your pastor would have wisdom on what truth to declare and when to declare it? One of the hardest things I face is, God, what is it that your people need this week? It's so easy to get stuck into a series and boom, 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 and just go. And I do that from time to time, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to be sensitive to what God's doing in your life and in the world around us. Would you pray that I would understand what God's truth is and when I need to share it? Because you and I, we need to be fed, and fed regularly with the Word of God. So, feeding. Feed the flock of God which is among you. I love that part. I love that part because of this. Okay? Because there's not this big banister or wall here, and I don't have anything wrong with banisters or walls, but this big wall here, and I stand up here, and you stand down there, and don't you come up here. That's not true, is it? You know, we feed the flock of God who is among you. You know, so I'm among you. I'm with you. I shop where you shop, right? Right? And I listen to the news like you listen to the news. I deal with your neighbors like you deal with your neighbors. I have a family, like some of you have families or have had families or will have families. And we travel. I'm among you. And Peter says, elders, feed the flock of God who is among you. You're among them. They're among you. You are part of them. But you have been called to feed them. You've been called to give them nourishment and strength. So feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking, now we're back to verse 2, chapter 5, 1 Peter, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. I want you to understand something. The call of the pastor is something that is of God and not of man. I do not know how a man could fulfill this role and this responsibility if it was not specifically given to him by God. The willingness. You know what? You look at this here. It says, taking the oversight. Well, what does oversight mean? Well, that means that you look over the people. You know, the shepherds, when they would take them out into the fields, many times would sit on a high piece of ground, and they would look out over the sheep. They would be able to see that little lamb that has wandered away from its mother. Or they'd be able to see the cat that's coming down the valley. They'd be able to discern the weather and the patterns and be able to know when it's time to head back to the fold. The pastor's been called for oversight, to oversee the people, to watch over them, not by constraint, not twisting your arm and get in there and watch over them, willingly. You know what? You pray for your pastor. Because as much as God has given me a heart for the people of God, you know, sometimes I can get frustrated. Sometimes I get burdened. You know, I praise God for the willing heart that He has given me. And I have experienced this from the very moment that Harold and I met the time down in Pennsylvania, and sometime, if you haven't heard the story, it's a wonderful story of how God brought us together. So your pastor's to feed you. Your pastor is to take oversight over you and to do that willingly. Your pastor is also to do that not for filthy lucre. I always love that word, lucre. Not for money, but of a ready mind. It's not about the money. And that is something that I try to stay away from and leery of discussing in regards to money, salary, and all of those kinds of things. But you take such good care of us, and I thank you for that. What do you see here? You see Peter giving these instructions to the leadership of the church. Why do you think he's doing that? It's because the leadership maybe struggled with some of this stuff. Yeah. It's a temptation. It's hard. That's why it has to be the work of God. Look at verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Oh, my. But being examples to the flocks. Servant leadership. God has called the pastor to not lord over the people, but to be example to the people. To be example among the people. To be an example. Well, what does that mean? That means that I have to be visible. I have to be able to be seen, make myself available to include people and include you in my life. It's an incredible, incredible opportunity and privilege to do that with you. But pray that God would help me to be faithful in that. You know what? You give a lot of responsibility to me. You do. You tell me in a lot of things, Pastor, just make a decision. You know what? I sometimes just get so nervous because I don't want to be a lord over it. So you let me know if I ever get... I don't even know what the word is. Get too lording over. That's a difficult place to be because I've been called to lead, but I shouldn't lead lord over. Pray that I can know that balance. Sometimes I don't know what that looks like. I didn't expect this to be so personal, but it's okay. We can be personal. All right, so neither is being lords over God's heritage, but be examples to the flock. And then he closes all of this with which we already talked about. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. All right, so I'm going to just share this. This is just personal insight because God has called me to this place to be a pastor. All right, so this passage is very personal to me. I mean, I look at this and I am being fed. I am like, okay, this is what I need to do, and this is what I'm not supposed to do. This is how I am to view people. And this is how I'm to view my Lord. He's my shepherd. And I am an under-shepherd. And then I come to verse 4, the promise of Christ appearing is before me. And then there's this crown. What am I supposed to do with that? And I want to tell you something. The crown of glory has been a difficult one for me to understand because glory. What is glory? Well, many times people will say it's brightness. It's a magnificence. Well, if you look at the text, if you look at the word behind this English word glory, the Greek word, it has the idea of an opinion or making a judgment about something. Praise. And so as we take this and translate this into the heavenly realm, and you're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and here I come, and God has called me to be a pastor, and now we come before the Lord, and he is giving out rewards for faithfulness. And by God's grace, I finish well. And that's what I want to do. I want to finish well. I want to be faithful. And I stand before God, and he gives me the crown of glory. What does that mean? What does that look like? The best understanding that I can understand is that this is a commendation from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the commendation that sounds maybe something like this: well done, thou good and faithful servant. Maybe it's a crown that I'll place on my head that I lay before his feet, and the crown speaks of, you did a good job, my son. You served well. You served well. Because the crown of glory speaks of a crown of honor and of praise that is given to the men that serve God faithfully in his church. In closing, I want to take this full circle back to Jesus Christ. Because the attention should not be on pastor. The attention needs to be on Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. I am here in this position. You are here only by the grace of God. And we can only be faithful in the roles that God has given to us because of the grace of God. And the grace of God is portrayed to us by Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's the crown of thorns. And as we talk about these crowns, all of these crowns are only possible because Jesus Christ wore a crown. Because Jesus Christ wore the crown of thorns on the cross, and he died, and he paid the penalty for our sin. So when you think of crowns, yes, you can think of the incorruptible crown, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of glory, the crown of life. But I want you to remember the crown of thorns and allow that to point yourself to Jesus Christ, to your mind to Jesus Christ, because all of these things are possible because of Jesus. God, I offer this message up unto you. God, you know the frustrating thing, the time I had this week as I studied and tried to put into words what this crown is all about. And so this, Lord, is an offering unto you, and I trust that you are honored and glorified, and I trust that you would greatly encourage your church as they care for their pastor, as they pray for their pastor, as they confront, as they love their pastor. God, I testify unto you, and I praise you for these people, for the flock of God. This is your flock, and God, they are caring for their pastor, and I thank you and praise you for how you are working that into their lives. They're faithful. God, I pray that you would grow us as a church, that we'd be a mighty powerhouse for the gospel, that this community would come to know Jesus Christ, who is the giver of all of these crowns, who is going to be our judge. But Lord, he's our Savior. You are our Savior. Take us from this place now, Lord, with your blessing. Encourage your people with these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.